Bhakto Vato Raghupatir Vidithari Kutai. Setum Kapindra Karalakam Pita Buru Hangai. Sugriva Nila Hanumat Pramukhair Anikair. Lankam Vibhishana Drisha Visharagradagdham. Badvo Dato Raghupatir Vivathadri Kutai. Setum Kapindra Karakam Pita Puru Hangai. Sugriva Nila Hanumat Pramukhair Anikair. Lankam Vibhishana Drisha Vishar Agradagdham. Badvo Dhato Raghupatir Vipathari Kutai. Setum Kapindra Karakam Pita Puru Hangai. Sugriva Nila Hanumat Pramukhai Anikai. Lankam Vibhishana Drisha Vishad Agradagdham.
Please, my dear, I'm not from here.
Madhava. After constructing Udadhau in the water of the ocean, Raghupati, Lord Ramchandra, Vividaiva, Vivida, varieties of Adrikutai, with peaks of great mountains, Setum, a bridge, Kapi Indra, of powerful monkeys, Karakampita, moved by the great hands, Buruha, Angai, with the trees and the plants, Sugriva, Sugriva, Nila, Nila, Hanumat, Hanuman, Pramukhai, led by Anikai, with such soldiers, Lankam, Lanka, the king of Ravana, Vibhishandrisha, by the direction of Vibhishan, the brother of Ravana, Avishat entered Agra, Dagdham, which was previously burnt by the monkey soldier Hanuman. Shukadev Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramchandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Great mountain peaks, covered with trees and plants, were thrown into the sea by the monkey soldiers and began to float by the supreme will of the Lord. By the supreme will of the Lord, many great planets float weightlessly in space like swabs of cotton. If this is possible, why should great mountain peaks not be able to float on water? This is the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything and everything He likes, because He is not under the control of material nature. Indeed, material nature is controlled by Him. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Only under His direction does prakriti, or material nature, work. Similar information is given in the Brahma Samhita 5.52. Yasyagyaya brahmati sambrita kala chakro Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. describing how material nature works, the Brahma Samhita says that the sun moves as desired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, for Lord Ramchandra to construct a bridge over the Indian Ocean with the help of monkey soldiers who threw great mountain peaks into the water is not at all wonderful. It is wonderful only in the sense that it has kept the name and fame of Lord Ramchandra eternally celebrated. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Nidhikanjena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutha Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrachataham Sahakana Raghunatham Vitham Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Sapadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padaham Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suthe Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Astatya Deshatari I offer my obeisances, my sincere obeisances to all of the assembled devotees. And when I say assembled in a very emphatic way, because you are quite enthusiastically and tightly assembled. After we greeted the deities of Sri Sri Nitai Gaura Chandra, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Lalita Vishaka, Sri Gopalji, the conch shell sounded, and then in the back of the temple another conch shell sounded announcing Srila Prabhupada's sacred Guru Puja. And I was thinking how to reach the back of the temple. It actually seemed impossible. Everything was so, what to say, every particle of space was crushed in with the sacred presence of Vaishnavas and Vaishnavas. What to speak of walking through the crowd, no one could move in the crowd. So it's very appropriate, this verse about building a bridge. It was like trying to crush an ocean of Vaishnavas. And I was humbled because I prayed and I realized I have to go out the back door and go around the temple and come through the back. Only by the mercy of Ram can such a bridge be. I'm so grateful to be back with you. Thank you. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, entitled The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, verse number 16. Sukadeva Goswami is describing a brief summary of the 24,000 verses of Valmiki's Ramayana. The Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning describes, it is the Paramhamsa Samhita. It is the culmination of all Vedic literature. It describes only the very essence of all knowledge and dharma. So sometimes we read stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam which are the stories that are presented in Mahabharata or Harivamsa, where these stories are told in great length, in various ways, or in this case, the Ramayana. And the Srimad Bhagavatam explains it concisely in a certain particular way. Because Dharma Prochita Kaitavatra, Srimad Bhagavatam, is not like other Vedic literatures trying to gradually bring us to the point of loving Krishna. It's giving us the most expedient chance to awaken love of Krishna. Artha Kama Dhamma Moksha. For most people within this world, to practice dharma according to these principles, even under the direction of the worship of demigods, it's a way of gradually elevating our consciousness. But Krishna tells in Gita, Vedaishta sarvear aham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vedeva chaham. He's the compiler of all the Vedas, and all the Vedas, ultimately, He is to be known. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna Himself, the original source of His expansion of Vyasadeva, whose disciple Narada instructed Valmiki, and Vyas. He described that of all the knowledge of all the Vedic literatures, the Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajra Veda, Atharva Veda, the 108 Upanishads, the additional Upanishads, the Itihastas, all of the histories, the Samhitas, all the Puranas, the Sutras. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the intention of all of them is three: Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. If we encapsulate the spirit behind all the knowledge of all the scriptures, they are for these three purposes: to reestablish our relationship with Krishna by attracting our hearts once again away from the material existence and toward Krishna. The Sambandha Murti is Madan Mohan. The Sambandha Acharya is Sanatan Goswami. Because in this world we are so much distracted and attracted, and our spiritual potential is retracted by our attraction for the things of this world, which are presided by Kamadev. We want to see things beautiful. We want to hear things that are pleasing. The mind, in forgetfulness of Krishna, is feeling such a vacuum of emptiness, of real pleasure, that we're somehow or other struggling in desperation, even though we may appear to be very graceful and successful. Internally, it's a desperate attempt to fill the void by seeing beautiful things, by thinking that we're being seen in a beautiful way, by what we taste, by what we feel, by what we possess, by the type of control we can have over others. And those under the thorough captivity of Kamadev are thinking they're successful, thinking they have achieved great things when they accomplish these, what is called material prosperity. The principle of the Vedas is to attract us away from the illusions of Maya by recognizing the all-attractive qualities of Krishna. And at the beginning, there's some experience and there's knowledge that, yes, there is something beyond this. We may not be in ecstasy upon seeing the beautiful form of Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami has warned us, if you go to Keshi Ghat, I warn you, you will see Govinda. And then all your attraction for everything you hold dear in your life will go away. Because all your attraction will be Hari, will be stolen by Krishna. And Krishna's not different than his names. Srila Rupa Goswami warns us that he didn't, not exactly warning, but he's informing us of his experience. Which could be taken as a warning. I do not know how much pleasure the two syllables Krishna give me. When I chant the name of Krishna, it conquers my life. When that name, the sound vibration enters my ears, it totally conquers my senses. I wish to have tens and millions of ears. Now you're all listening. I don't want to project my own mentality on you, but you're probably thinking, it's prasad time. How many are thinking, this is so sweet, the sound of Krishna, that I want 10 million ears? And when the sound comes through the ears and enters the tongue, it completely conquers and makes all other aspects of my life inert. That is surrender, Sharanagati, where there's just nothing but Krishna. Nothing but the will to serve Krishna and to please Krishna. From a spiritual perspective, that is good health. And that's just the beginning, sambandha. Abhideya is the process by which, by following the regulative principles and by following the path of pure devotional service, mahajano yena gata sambandha, under the great acharyas, emulating their example of how they follow Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. That is austerity. Austerity doesn't mean painful and hard, and it doesn't mean pleasant and easy. It means whether it's painful or hard or pleasant and easy, we perform our service wholeheartedly. We surrender. Sometimes surrendering to the path of bhakti is simply blissful. Sometimes it's extremely painful. And so many others. Because in this world there will always be impediments. And happiness is when we see the opportunity to serve in impediments. Happiness is not when impediments go away. So Abhideya is to serve Krishna with deep commitment and attachment. And it culminates with the third aspect of the purpose of all Vedas, prayojana, which is the goal of life. To experience the nature of the soul. Satchit ananda. Yes, we experience that we're beyond birth and beyond death. That's a great relief. Yes, we have knowledge where we can, to whatever degree we are blessed with transcendental knowledge, we can see through all of the misinformation provided by Maya and all of Maya's limitless agents of this world. And Ananda, the inherent love for Krishna, that is Ananda Mayobhyashat, Param Drisvanivartate, the pleasure that every soul is seeking. It is being given to us. Sometimes it is said that love of God is awakened. Other times it is said love of God is given to us. But they are very interconnected, because love of God actually is given to us. Because it is through the grace and the blessings of the love of God, of the great soul, that the love of God within us is awakened. It cannot be awakened without being given to us in the form of grace, in the form of instruction, blessings, example. Srila Prabhupada, in all of his humility, he assumed the title His Divine Grace. Because unless we understand this very carefully, that without receiving the divine grace that he has given, we, as his followers, have no access to the experience of the love, the pure love of the soul. Krishna tells, I give myself according to how you surrender. And surrender, how we are willing to put aside everything else to receive divine grace. So Sukadev Goswami, in just one or two little chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, he's describing the whole 24,000 verses of Ramayana. But he's taking the essence that's so most important for us to understand. It's interesting because Vedavyas, he took all the Vedic literatures and summarized, compressed it into the Vedanta Sutra. And he was still not satisfied. In Bhadrikashram, sitting on bank of Saraswati, he was thinking, what have I done? What I have not done, I'm not satisfied. Now, for you and me, we're probably not satisfied because we don't love Krishna. But Vedavyas fully loves Krishna. So why is he not satisfied? And if he's not satisfied, how could it be Satchitananda? Ananda means satisfied. Because of compassion for us. He has full love for Krishna. But he's not satisfied that he could give the means by which the most fallen people of the coming age of Kali could achieve love for Krishna. It's quite, Narada Muni came and instructed him, you will be satisfied when you compile the Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes the supreme glories of Lord Sri Krishna, the source of all incarnations, without mixing this subject with anything but pure unalloyed devotional service. Srila Prabhupada, he was completely satisfied sitting at the Bhajan Kutir of Rupa and Jiva Goswamis in Vrindavan. But yet, he was not satisfied. He was satisfied in his love for Krishna, but his Guru Maharaj ordered him to take Lord Chaitanya's message to the world. Vedavyas took Vedanta Sutra and gave his own commentary in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, in his profound compassion for each and every one of us and all of our loved ones and everyone else within this creation, following in the footsteps of the Acharyas, like Vedavyas, who wrote a commentary on Vedanta Sutra in form of Srimad Bhagavatam, he wrote commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And we're reading today about what Lord Ramchandra and his monkey soldiers had to do to cross the ocean. Srila Prabhupada had to cross two oceans. Yes. From Rameshwaram area to Sri Lanka is about 800 miles in Maya. But from Vrindavan to New York, it's about 10,000 miles. And he did it all by crossing oceans. Yes, this is the qualification that we all require, is to emulate a sense of real gratitude to what we have been given and how it has been given. Human nature is such that it's difficult to appreciate the value of something unless there's struggle. Things that come too easy are not taken very seriously. When you really strive to achieve something, you're very careful not to lose it. If things just come and go very easily, then you're not really that concerned. So we see this in all the great spiritual paths throughout history. In the Old Testament, you know, Moses had to free people from slavery and go through the wilderness for an entire generation, and everyone in that generation died in the wilderness before they even reached the promised land. In Christianity, Lord Jesus was so much persecution, crucifixion. Almost every one of his immediate disciples were killed in trying to give the message. In Islam, so much strife, so much fighting. And in our Vedic civilization, we see Vrindavan. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he came to restore Vrindavan, you know, there was there was hardly anything left there. When Lord Chaitanya first came, it was practically forgotten. When the Sankirtan movement was begun, Chand Kazi was persecuting all the devotees. They were coming before Lord Chaitanya, "We can't do this, it's not possible." He said, "Just go ahead and do it." They understood. They had, in Navadvip, those people had to lose all their wealth. They were willing to lose their wealth, their families, and their lives just to chant Hare Krishna. And because they were willing to do that, Lord Chaitanya himself came out to dance with them. It was like crossing the ocean of all impediments. And after the most victorious accomplishment, within one sentence, Lord Chaitanya attracted hundreds and thousands of people to join him. Even when an oppressive regime with a huge military were threatening them. And he danced through all of Navadvip to the house of Chand Kazi. And Chand Kazi realized, "This is my beloved Lord. I may be from a different religion," but he realized, "God is one." "And Lord Chaitanya is that one. And I will surrender." And he surrendered. He became a devotee. And it's such a victory. And how did Lord Chaitanya celebrate? How do most people celebrate victories? There's big parties and lavish arrangements. Lord Chaitanya left everybody behind and went to Kolavecha Sridhar's little poverty-stricken one-roomed straw hut. And he saw an old iron pot that was dented, that was just sitting at the doorstep, with simple water in it from any old well. Lord Chaitanya drank that water. The devotees could, how could he be drinking the water from Sridhar? That water was not like new offered water. That was just used water. Sridhar was using it to wash and to do so many things. And Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy, tears pouring from his eyes, his limbs trembling. Sridhar said, "No, no, no, don't touch that water. I know it's contaminated water. I've been using it." And Lord Chaitanya drank. Sridhar fell unconscious. He was so ashamed. And the devotees were watching in total astonishment. What is happening here? And then everything was revealed. Lord Chaitanya said, "For the first time in my life, I am tasting the sweetness of love of Krishna because I have drank the water used by Sridhar." Who is Sridhar? Nobody knew who Sridhar was. People just called him Kolavecha because they just thought he sells banana leaves. That's how Lord Chaitanya celebrated his greatest victory. By showing what real wealth is. The love of Krishna, that is within the heart of a devotee. Whether they are kings or banana leaf sellers. In Dwarka, when Sudama Vipra came, Krishna was very eager to steal some simple chipped rice that had been begged from another home. Lord Chaitanya, living in Dwarka, in palaces more ornamented than Indra's palaces, surrounded by goddesses of fortunes, he was willing to forcibly steal that rice from Sudama. That's how hungry he was. That is the nature of love of God. It is given to us by the mercy of those great souls who are having love of God, who are entrusted with the power of, with the grace of Krishna Prema. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this beautiful verse, Trinada Pisunichena, Tador Iva Sihishnana, Amani Namana Dena Kirtanisa. That Krishna Prema is being given by the great souls through Parampara in the form of Krishna's names. But how do we receive it? When we are humble, like more humble than the blade of grass, more tolerant and forgiving than a tree, truly eager to offer respect to others, happy to offer respect to others, happy to see the success of others. And not concern ourselves. When you're happy to respect others, you don't need respect yourself. You're happy. When you feel you need respect for yourself, you're never really very happy. Because the nature of the world is, however much you get, you don't get. And the nature of the mind is it likes to look at what we don't have more than what we do have. Have this true service attitude as well-wishers, then Krishna's pleased. And when Krishna's pleased, samsudhir hari toshanam, then he actually within our hearts gives us the capacity, gives us the blessing by which we could receive that divine grace. And upon receiving, then the love of the soul is awakened. We can't awaken it ourselves. So sometimes there's a debate. Is Krishna Prema given, or is Krishna Prema within us? Human nature is we want to be right. We want to show that I'm more right than somebody else. But the whole idea of amani na mana dena is not like that. And if we Srila Prabhupada very in great simplicity, you know, he has taken all knowledge of all Vedas, they're both right. You must receive, it must be given to you. in order for it to be realized from within. So here Sukadeva Goswami, he has given us he's given us 24,000 verses in just a few. Today, Sukadeva Goswami is describing the construction of the bridge over the ocean. 2 days ago was Ram Navami. I was hearing a recording of our beloved Srila Prabhupada, and he was describing how, just like in an ocean, there are many waves. In that many ways, Krishna appears in this world. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam shajanya. What is Krishna's compassion? Suratam sarvabhutanam. What kind of friend is Krishna? He's the supreme, ever well-wishing best friend of every living being. It's hard to stay with someone who doesn't like you at all. Do you have that experience? Especially if you have a choice. But Krishna stays in everybody's hearts. Even Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, Shishupal, what to speak of people we hear about in the world today. There's one thing that's absolutely certain. Krishna never ever leaves anyone's heart for even a moment. And he may remain silent, but he's always there, always waiting for the opportunity. Srila Prabhupada describes that the guru, the spiritual master, is the external manifestation of the Paramatma who's in our heart. Because we can't hear Krishna in our heart unless we're very highly purified, realized souls. So the Lord in our heart, through the Parampara system, is speaking through the great souls. Such a friend. And even though he's in the heart and we can't hear, still he incarnates again and again and again. And sends so many of his empowered devotees just to give us a chance to know him, to love him. That is Krishna. So, in terms of the great state of Maharashtra, is anyone from Nasik here today? Please raise your hands if you're from Nasik. Please raise both of your hands. Just seeing you is like going on pilgrimage. Panchavati. You can put them down whenever you like. Ram was banished to the forest. Sita came with him. Ram told Sita, you must stay back in Ayodhya. My stepmother Kaikeyi has influenced my father to banish me for 14 years. My father's begging me not to go. But to protect his honor, I will go. I must go. Everyone was begging him not to go. Even his father, his mother. But to protect the Dharma of my father, I must go. Sita, you must stay. Sita was... she was overwhelmed. How could I stay without you? Ram said, you are accustomed to living in beautiful soft beds, eating the finest foods, surrounded by wonderful palaces and so much protection. You've never known anything but this your whole life. Where I'm living, no more silken clothes, only tree bark clothes. No more fine foods, only raw roots and herbs from the ground. No more palaces, but sleeping on the hard ground. Or at the best, some little leaf hut. You cannot go. Freezing winters, burning summers, rainy seasons, mosquitoes, snakes, tigers, lions, leopards, rakshasas everywhere. No. You stay home with my mother and father and keep them company. I'll be back. 14 years. Beautiful argument took place between them. It's like the essence of the arguments between husbands and wives. You're allowed to argue, but try to make your argument like theirs. It seems like nobody's exempt from arguments in this husband and wife relationship. But how were they arguing? And it was actually quite a ferocious argument in many ways. It was ferocious in the sense that it was impassioned. He was saying, you must stay for your benefit. And she was saying, I must go for your benefit. No, no, you must stay for your benefit. No, no, I must go for your benefit. Nothing was I or mine. Everything was how to serve. And Sita defeated Ram. She defeated him. There were so many arguments that Ram was about her protection, about her duties in so many ways. But Sita, she said, my dharma when I was married is I was with you. I will be with you in all circumstances. This was the promise my father gave at our marriage ceremony. You cannot make him a liar. I am going with you. Ram said, actually, all the while I wanted you to come. I had to say all these things, but please come. And then Lakshman said, I'm coming too. And Ram didn't even bother hardly. There was hardly any argument there. And when they went to Sahaj Kausalya, actually when I first read Ramayana, it was about 52 years ago. It was in Mithila, the birthplace of Sita. I was there for Ram Navami at that time. That was my first Ram Navami. I was at Sita's birthplace and the temple Janaki Mandir and Ram Mandir. And I sat at this Bihar Kund, and I was a man named Veji, who was like an acharya of that area. He gave me the Ramayana in English to read, and I sat and I spent a couple weeks there just reading Ramayana, and I completed it on the day of Ram Navami. And yes, that place of the marriage ceremony, Sita gave her heart. And I remember the part where, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I was just crying incessantly, as conditioned and fallen and filled with material desires as I was. How expertly the Ramayana is written to reach everybody's heart, somehow or other. The discussion between Ram and Kausalya. Do you all remember that? She was celebrating all night long and doing pujas and fasting, and because the next morning was the greatest day of her life. Her son, Ram, was going to be coronated to be the next emperor. The whole city was celebrating. Ayodhya was filled with joy, and no one was more joyful than Kausalya. How could she sleep that night? She was... How do people celebrate in a dharmic society? They do puja. It's wonderful. They don't go out and get, you know, drink all kinds of beverages and try to, you know, just enjoy. They celebrate by doing pujas, by doing yajnas. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it really special that the yajna is Harinam Sankirtan. So that's the way we celebrate. We do Harinam Sankirtan. It's a yajna, it's a puja. But she was doing pujas all night long in ecstasy. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, they kept, every time they gave birth to a child, the child died. And they were doing puja to the Lord. And finally, when they had a child that lived, Vishwarup, they increased their puja. That's how they celebrated. And then Lord Chaitanya was born. So Kausalya, she's at the peak of ecstasy. She loved her son as her life and soul. She loved her citizens as her own children. She was queen. She was, not only will Ram be the king and Sita will be the queen, but all the citizens of Ayodhya will get the greatest happiness through this experience. She was swarming in the ecstasy of joy. And now the sun is just rising and all the preparations have been made. It's just a matter of minutes till the coronation happens. And Ram comes into her room. And she says, "Oh, Ram, this is the happiest day of..." She embraces him. She's smiling. She said, "Why did you come here walking? You don't look like you're dressed to be a king." And he explained that, "I'm going to the forest for 14 years. And he explained the reason. Her heart was broken. Totally. It was crushed. A mother's love for her child. She exhibited with some anger at her husband, Dasarath, at her companion, Kaikeyi. But Ram had no anger or no negativity toward anyone. He said, "No, don't be angry with Kaikeyi. She's just acting according to destiny. And my father, he's just being a loving father. But I must uphold his honor." And she did everything she could to convince him not to go. And when she saw he was determined to go, then she changed her whole reasoning. Said, "Actually, I'll be happy. You can save my life if you allow me to go with you." She had the same conviction of Sita. "Let me just go with you. If you leave me here, I will die." Ram said, "I love my father. He needs you. You must stay here." And when Kausalya saw what was happening, what was her son's will, then she began to bless, she began to offer blessings to him and wonderful instructions of how to live in the forest. Her heart was annihilated by thinking of Sita going to live in the forest. After all, Ram, she saw as a small boy still, but he was trained as a warrior. But Sita was just a gentle child. But when she saw Sita was determined to go, she gave every type of encouragement with so much love and good instructions of how Sita and Ram should live in the forest together. "And yes, I give you all my blessings, go." Why would she give him blessings to go? Ahoitakiya pratiyata. Selfless love. A mother's love for her child is the purest type of love in this world. And when the child is God, and when the child is Sita and Ram, that love is infinitely deeper and sweeter than any other love. And yet in her pain, she's giving blessings. Because one thing only, she wanted Sita and Ram to be happy when they left. And they couldn't be happy if her heart was broken. So she hid her broken heart and looked and presented herself as happy and giving blessings so that they could go and be happy. They came back to Dasarath Maharaj. Kaikeyi was waiting with tree bark clothes. He said, "You cannot go to the forest wearing your clothes." So Ram said, "Fine." He took off his clothes, put on his tree bark. And they gave the tree bark to Sita. She looked at it with tears in her eyes. She had no idea how to put it on. Some of you ladies, if somebody gave you a set of tree bark, it's not like tailor-made, it's just like strips. What would you do? She was looking and crying, and when everybody saw her holding this tree bark in total bewilderment, Vasishtha Muni started crying, and Kaikeyi, why don't you do something? How can you tolerate seeing this? Kaikeyi said, "Put on the tree bark." And actually, Kaikeyi loved Ram as much as Kausalya, but somehow she was deluded by that association. That propensity to love God, which she had, was covered by due to the influence of that association. So what is our position? How much association is important to protect our pursuit of loving Krishna? And eventually Ram helped put the tree bark on Sita, and they went and they left with Sumantra on the chariot, and eventually went to Chitrakoot. And from Chitrakoot, Bharat, Kausalya, and even Kaikeyi came. When Bharat rejected the throne and decided to offer it back to Ram, Kaikeyi realized what she had done. The person she loved as much as her own son, she was so cruel to. Can you imagine what she was feeling at that time? She transformed. And Ram was telling everybody, "You must take care of Kaikeyi. She needs your help." So Bharat returned with the sandals to put on the throne, the sandals of Ram. And Ram, Sita, and Lakshman lived in Chitrakoot. But after the residents of Ayodhya went there, something changed. And the sages started going away. Ram asked, "Why are you going?" They said, "It's not the same here. There's also many Rakshasas coming close by." So Ram and Sita entered with Lakshman, entered the Dandakaranya forest. And after meeting Agastya Muni and others, they came to Nasik Panchapati. And it was there that the historical moment, Sita Harana, Lakshman kidnapped Sita after diverting Ram with the beautiful golden deer, Maricha. And Ram and Lakshman, on barefoot, they walked from Nasik all the way to Rameshwaram. Have any of you ever made that walk? And in those days, it was mostly jungles and forest, and there's so many Rakshasas they met on the way. Kabanda. And they made allies with Hanuman and Sugriva in Kishkindha. And Hanuman discovered Sita in Sri Lanka after jumping over the ocean. And he returned and gave the whole report to Ram. And Ram was so grateful to Hanuman. He said, I have nothing to give you. I'm living in this Malyavanta Prashavana cave. I have nothing here. I'm in exile. I want to give you a gift. All I have is my own heart and my whole self. I give you myself. And Ram embraced Hanuman. And for Hanuman, jumping across the ocean, finding Sita, being beaten by Ravana, being set on fire, lighting the whole city on fire, fighting with the chief generals of Ravana's army, and jumping back. It was all the smallest, most insignificant price to get Ram's embrace. That is what bhakti is. We are willing to endure anything if we can please Krishna and please his devotees. It's a small price. If we understand the value of the blessings of Krishna and his devotees, then we'll never complain about anything. Because we're all receiving those blessings. Nothing else is really comparative in value. Death itself is the smallest price to receive the blessings of the Lord and his devotees. So after Lord Ram embraced Hanumanji, he said, please tell me all about Lanka. Where is it? And what's it like? And Hanuman gave full report. And then they all traveled together to go to the seashore. And there were so many of Hanuman's colleagues, the monkey soldiers in Sugriva's army. And they looked out at the ocean. As far as their eyes could see, in front on both sides, was this vast ocean. And it was quite turbulent with waves. And in those days, it was filled with gigantic fish. They were seeing in the ocean, jumping over, you know, jumping in the ocean, Timangila fish. Timangila fish are so big that just for a meal, they open their mouth and eat whales. For a Timangila fish, eating a whale is like a snack. And in Treta Yuga, the whales were much bigger than Kali Yuga whales. So, and they're seeing this ocean filled with these kinds of fish, what to speak of sharks and everything else. How is it possible? Ram, by his mystic powers, he said, I can cross the ocean, but I'm not going to go without all the monkeys. How are we all going to go? And there were thousands and thousands and tens and thousands of them. So they were all banked at that site, wondering how to cross. And meanwhile, Ravana was, he had such a good network of spies. There was one spy named Sukha. Not Sukadeva, just Sukha. And he was a Rakshasa. But all these Rakshasas had supernatural powers. He took the form of a bird to go to see every detail of Ram's army so that he could come back and report to Ravana. And while he was just flying around all of the various troops who were on the, trying to understand how are we going to cross the ocean. Sita's there. We have to get there. Sugriva and some of the monkeys recognize that this is actually a spy of Ravana in the form of a bird, and they grabbed him and started beating him. And when it came to Ram's attention, he said, no, no, let him go, let him go. But don't harm him, but just keep him and we'll take him with us. We'll take him with us across the ocean. Ram was so merciful to everyone. A spy who came. Usually spies and the army, they're the first person who get capital punishment is spies. But Ram said, no, no, keep him with us. We'll take him with us. And then we'll let him free when we get to Sri Lanka. We'll take him home and let him free. Meanwhile, you know, Ravana was getting reports. And he was having a conference, how to fight this battle. There's so many monkeys out there. And they were thinking, Hanuman is just one of them. He came here and he killed some of the children of Ravana. Some of the greatest generals of Ravana's army. And those generals had entire armies with them. And Hanuman, he didn't even have any weapon except a club. They had arrows and javelins and all sorts of, you know, nuclear missiles. And Hanuman was just, you know, beating them with trees. And Hanuman, by his own sweet will, he first went to Sita and presented Sita Ram's ring and said, Ram will come, and she was pacified. That was his job. His service to Ram was find Sita, give her my ring, and assure her I'm coming. He did it. Now he had to jump across the whole ocean. He had to secretly go, you know, in disguise, go through in the middle of the night through the whole city of Sri Lanka to find her. Now, he could have just secretly gone back to Ram and given him all the information. But Hanuman wanted to do more. So he started tearing apart in a very loud way Ravana's favorite garden. And when the report came to Ravana that a monkey's destroying his garden, he started sending people to come and shoo the monkey away. And the monkey killed them all. So then he started sending generals, and Hanuman killed them, and then he started sending armies, and Hanuman killed them. And Hanuman was such a devotee, such a servant, he was thinking, I want to meet Hanuman, I want to meet Ravana. I want to give him a chance to surrender. Such a preacher. We read about Srila Haridas Thakur. He's being beaten in 22 marketplaces with people with the single intent to torture him and kill him. And he's praying to Krishna, please give them love of God. So even though Ravana would terrorize Sita, was keeping her in the most fearsome condition. He was coming every day to meet her and threatening, because Ravana had a curse that he could not enjoy a female against her will, or he would die. So he was trying to convince Sita by offering her every type of luxury, every type of pleasure, and when that wasn't there, he threatened that I will kill you and eat you after a year if you don't surrender to me. She said, the chances that you have of enjoying me is like a person enjoying licking honey with their tongue from the edge of a razor blade. Please meditate on that analogy. You know, honey is very sweet, but the context of something makes a big difference. When it's on a nice spoon, but when that same honey is on the edge of a razor blade. Yes, she said, you're enjoying me as like trying to swim across the ocean with a mountain roped around your throat. So he was quite insulted by it. But he wouldn't give up. And here's Hanuman giving Ram, Ram knows where, I will tell him where you are, and he will come for you. But even after hearing and seeing all of this, he wanted to meet Ravana face to face. And for some of us, you know, we see pictures of Ravana and we make deities of Ravana, and usually he looks like kind of a crazy person. But actual Ravana, we cannot imagine anybody in the world to be as fearful as he was. He was actually extremely learned. He was so huge that single-handedly, of course he had many hands, but he defeated Indra and Indra's armies. At the time of the yajna, where they were for Ram's birth, the demigods, all of the demigods were crying to Brahma that we can't live with Ravana in our universe. Now, there may be tyrants in the world today, political leaders, but they may trouble all of us, but the demigods really couldn't care less about them. But Ravana, the demigods, are praying and crying to Lord Brahma, You gave Ravana, you know, you're our guru, and you are our leader, and you are our father, and we offer you all of our respects, but you gave Ravana all of these benedictions. So what are you going to do about it now? What about us? And Brahma, he gave the benedictions. Even he didn't know what to do except pray to Vishnu. And Vishnu came. He said, I will come. So this is the power of Ravana. Can you imagine standing before Ravana and with all of his eyes, red as coals with anger, he's looking at you with this thunderous voice, chastising you. It's unimaginable. Hanuman wanted that experience. He did his job, he did his service, he could have just jumped back to Ram and give him the report and be celebrated by everybody for the rest of eternity, but he wanted to give Ravana a chance to surrender. So he allowed himself to be tied up and made into a prisoner and beat. They were beating him. And they brought him in the court right in front of Ravana. And oh, how he was being beaten. And he was not even fighting against them. He was just accepting. And then Ravana, with his terrifying voice, was hurling so many insults and threats. And Hanuman spoke nice philosophy. But in essence, he said, I am just one insignificant servant of Ram. And look what I'm doing. Ram himself, with hundreds and thousands of soldiers as powerful as me, are all coming here. Just give back Sita, and we will accept you as our own. Ram will give you all protection forever. Just give back Sita. So gracious, so kind, so merciful. Ravana was so insulted by that. He said, beat this monkey. Monkeys are very proud of their tails. Actually, if you ever study monkeys with long tails, it's, you know, they're very proud of their tails. He said, they took banded cloth, very flammable cloth, and they wrapped it very tightly and profusely around his tail, and then soaked it in flammable oils. It was a very scientific method. And Ravana said, light it on fire. When they lit it on fire, the intention was, first, it would completely burn to ashes all this monkey's pride. Second, it would be torturous to be engulfed by flames. And third, it would burn him to death. It would kill him. It was the obvious result. Hanuman, so he said, all right, go ahead. He didn't resist. He let his tail be wrapped up, he let it be soaked, he let the fire go, and he just sat there for a while and let the fire burn bigger and bigger and bigger. And everyone was, oh, how wonderful, this monkey's going to roast to death. And suddenly Hanuman just broke the ropes and started dancing all over the place. He jumped on the roof and touched his tail. That palace blazed fire. He jumped to the next palace, touched his tail. And this is such a philosophical principle that's so applicable to all of us. That when you try to cause unnecessary harm to others, that will be the cause of harm to ourselves. Thank you. That was. That was very nice of you. Thank you. Yes, they tried to cause harm with fire to Hanuman, and Hanuman took the same fire to cause harm to them. That's the laws of nature, too. And after burning so much of a part of the city, Hanuman jumped in the ocean, put his tail out, and then went back to Ram. So now here they are on the bank of the sea, on the seashore, wondering how they're going to cross the sea. And when the various spies were giving the information of the nature of the army that was about to fight Ravana, Ravana was in his court with his generals, with his ministers. And they were thinking, how are we going to fight so many monkeys when one who we encountered was undefeatable? That was the question. And Ravana's generals, they just wanted to tell Ravana what he wanted to hear. That you have defeated Indra. You have received the greatest benedictions from Brahma. No one can defeat you. And each general was coming. One, I think his name was Prabhasa. He said, I will single-handedly destroy the entire monkey army and I will slay Ram and Lakshman. I don't need any help. I will do. And then the next general said similarly the same thing. And the next general said the same thing. And another said the same thing. And Ravana was very happy. They were all praising him because we are serving you. Nothing can harm us. And Ravana was, yes. And Indrajit, Ravana's eldest son, he was praising his own glories and his own powers and Ravana's powers. And Ravana was just surrounded by that. And then Vibhishan, the younger brother of Ravana, he stood up. He said, Ram is Vishnu. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His own consort you have stolen. He will single-handedly destroy everything and everyone. Sri Lanka is the most prosperous place in all the worlds. You have kidnapped Sita illegally. Just give back Sita and we could live happily. But as long as you persist in keeping her, you are doomed. We are all doomed. Ravana was disgusted. And Indrajit, he began to blaspheme his uncle Vibhishan, saying, "You are a coward. You are envious of your own brother. You are on the side of his enemy. Who are you to talk like this?" And Vibhishan looked at Indrajit and said, "You are nothing but an impudent fool." Ravana said, "Let us stop this this meeting and we'll continue tomorrow." And the next day it was even worse. Nobody would say anything to Ravana except what Ravana wanted to hear. And Vibhishan was seeing it, and he was simply telling the truth. Vibhishan was a great pure devotee, but he happened to be the brother of Ravana. And he lived his whole life in Sri Lanka. And he loved his brother. And he was a well-wisher. And he had his dharma, he had his duties there. It's quite mixed up. He was really a well-wisher. And with so much compassion, as everybody was praising Ravana's ability to enjoy Sita and defeat Ram, Vibhishan was simply telling the truth. Not because he was against his brother, but because he loved his brother. The Ramayana has such a depth. The idea of love your enemies, you have heard that before. It's a Christian concept also, to love your enemies. Vibhishan personified this in an extraordinary way. He loved his enemy to such an extent he was willing to put his life down. Every single person in that court wanted to kill Vibhishan because he was speaking the truth. And Ravana, after hearing the truth, spoken with such compassion, Ravana was calling Vibhishan envious. "If you were not my brother, I would kill you at this moment. But because you're my brother," he just started blaspheming him. Vibhishan, he said to Ravana, "I will now take leave of you. I have no place here." And with two of his servants, Vibhishan was such a rakshasa with such powers. You know, we're talking about the whole bridge that needed to be built. Vibhishan just floated like Hanuman over the ocean. Hanuman jumped. Vibhishan just floated. And he came to Ram's army, and he was in the air. And Vibhishan was very big size too. And they saw him. Sugriva, Angada, "This is Ravana's brother. He's come here." And Vibhishan looked so peaceful. He said, "I've come to surrender my life to Ram." They didn't know what to do with him. So they went to Ram. Ram said, "What should we do?" And there were so many opinions. How could we trust him? John Bhavan said, we cannot trust him. He's Ravana's brother. He's a Rakshasa. Before we could give him any confidence, he has to be thoroughly tested. And Angada said, we cannot trust him. He's too suspicious. He's a Rakshasa. And Sugriva said, he must be killed immediately because he's Ravana's brother. Even if Ravana may have offended him and he's angry with Ravana, still his family relation in the middle of the war, he could again favor his brother. Everyone was against Vibhishan. And Vibhishan was just there saying, I just want to surrender to Ram. Ram said, Hanuman, what is your opinion? Hanuman said, he is sincere. He wants to surrender to you. We should accept him as one of our brothers unconditionally and trust him. That was Hanuman's perception. Lord Ram said, yes, he has come to surrender to me. If anyone, even one time, sincerely comes to surrender to me, I will accept that devotee and give that devotee protection forever. Even if Ravana were to come and one time express his will to surrender to me, I would accept him as my own and give him protection forever. Ram's eternal words for all the world. When Ram said that, Sugriva, Jambavan, Angada, they all said, Vibhishan, we are yours. We are family. There was no longer any doubt, any question. And Vibhishan became part of the family. And the next thing Ram did is he said, after we recover Sita and we defeat Ravana, because Vibhishan is such a pure surrendered devotee, we will make Vibhishan the king of Lanka. And Ram decided to do it at that moment. If you remember, we have taken several yatras to Rameshwaram, and there's that island where there's a little bridge, and that at that place there's a temple where Ram coronated Vibhishan, the king of Lanka. Ram and Lakshman, they arranged water from the sea and they poured it on the head of Vibhishan to coronate him as the king. Meanwhile, the spies are telling Ravana this information. That they just coronated your traitor, envious brother as the king instead of you. Ram knows how to make things exciting. Things were accelerating. But still, how to cross the ocean? Sita was there. Ram was not willing to go without the entire monkey army. And only Hanuman had the power to jump there. There had to be another way. So Vibhishan, he gave good advice to Ram. He said, the ocean, Sagara, offer prayers and tapasya for the ocean, and the ocean will reveal to you how you can cross him. So Ram sat. He's the Supreme Personality of God, the Absolute Truth. the cause of all causes. Vishwambar, the maintainer of all the universes. The source of Mahavishnu, who from his mere breath, the whole cosmic manifestation with limitless universes have come about. That same Supreme Lord, in the role of a human being, he sat on the ocean and fasted, offered prayers for the ocean to come and reveal how Ram and his associates could cross. He fasted sitting on one place on Kusha grass mat for 3 days. And there was nothing. Sometimes we get upset because we call somebody and they don't call us back. Or to speak, we write a text message to somebody and they don't text us back. I'm one of the worst in that regard. That's why it comes to mind. But here is Ram, the most exalted personality, taking such a humble position of sitting on a straw mat on the ocean side, praying for the ocean to give permission to cross. 3 days, fasting, no food, no water, and the ocean didn't respond. There was nothing. Now Ram was humble, manifestation of humility. But meanwhile, Sita's across the ocean in a helpless condition. The year was almost over. Ravana had already vowed to cut her to pieces and eat her if she didn't surrender to him. So Ram, his eyes glowed with dissatisfaction. And just by his glance on the ocean started heating up. And then Ram shot some bows in the ocean. And the ocean, between his bow, his arrows, he shot some arrows, and his glance, the ocean was literally beginning to boil with heat through the radiance of his glance. And the arrows were disrupting things. And the Timangala fish and the sharks and the whales and all the aquatics were like screaming and paining, jumping up and down, and the ocean was about to evaporate. And then Ram took a very special arrow that was going to completely make the ocean disappear. And he pulled it back. And at that point, Samudra, the god of the ocean, appeared before Ram and said, "I'm sorry." "You know, because I'm so big and I'm so powerful, I didn't take you so seriously, but now I realize who you are, so I surrender to you." And Ram said, what should I do with this arrow?" And he said, "There's a place where there's some really bad people over there, and you should..." He shot it. And it became like a paradise. But Then Samudra, he said, by my will, you can make a bridge. And any rocks or trees you place on me, they will float. I give this power to you. And the ocean said, actually, Nila, who's one of the monkey soldiers, he's the son of Vishwakarma. He has all the powers of his father. He's an expansion. He will make the whole design, the structural design of the bridge. Follow him, and everything will float, and you will successfully reach Sri Lanka. So Ram empowered Nila, and he made all the designs. He was the architect. And then, all of the various monkey soldiers, Vanaras, they went to get mountain peaks, rocks, trees, tie them all together. It was actually an amazing construction project. They made a road. It was, what was it like, 800 miles long and 100 miles wide or something. Okay. Thank you. Such a road. And it was completely smooth. They laid rocks, they made mountain peaks, they laid trees on it, and they made everything tight. It was just like it was a more comfortably smooth, well-paved road than anything we find in Mumbai. And it was made by monkeys. And Hanumanji is bringing those big boulders, and little monkeys were bringing rocks, and little squirrels were bringing, shaking sand off their bodies, and little spiders were kicking grains of sand, and everyone was trying to help out to make this bridge. And the beauty is, Ram saw everyone's service as equal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes to Sanatana Goswami, and Srila Prabhupada quotes it often, that the Lord sees not just what we do in his service, but the intention of how we do it. The Lord accepts our intention. And of course, if we have the right intention, then on a physical and mental level, we're going to do the absolute best we can. We can't just say, well, I'm not going to try, but I have good intention. If your intention is sincere, then you'll do everything within your power to do it the best you can. But essentially, the Lord doesn't accept what's done. He accepts the intention in which it's done. He accepted the intention of Hanuman when he was lifting mountains, and he equally accepted the intentions of little squirrels when they would jump in the water, roll around in sand, and then shake the sand and get it on top of the bridge. And in this way, Ram was seen as Lord Chaitanya when Narsimhananda Brahmachari wanted to build that road for Lord Chaitanya to go to Vrindavan. He was sitting in Puri, or actually in Navadvip. He was sitting in Navadvip, and Lord Chaitanya was going to Vrindavan. And he was thinking, it's a very rough trip to Vrindavan. Let me make a road for him. But he's a brahmachari. And in those days, not like today, he didn't even have a locker. He had nothing materially. He was just a brahmachari. You know, just going place to place. And you know, he said, I'm going to make a road for Lord Chaitanya so that his trip to Vrindavan is comfortable. And there's so many people coming with him, I have to make it a big road. So in certain ways, it was very similar to the bridge across the ocean. He was sitting down without one paisa, without one penny, without one shilling, with no one to help him. He didn't have like a staff. He was just sitting alone like this, sitting on the ground, a little piece of grass, and he was meditating in his mind and building this road. And he was paving the road with gold, and it was a wide road. And he was covering the golden road with fragrant flower petals with no stems, covering it with such fragrance. He was meditating on making the flowers so fragrant, each flower he was putting down. And then on the sides of the roads, he was excavating lakes and lining with beautiful trees. And when Lord Chaitanya was going down the road to Vrindavan, everybody else was just seeing what was there. But Mahaprabhu was seeing what was in the meditation of Nrsimha Nanda Brahmacharya. It was his intent. The nature of his intent, he wanted it. But he didn't just say, I want it, and then, you know, go and eat some rotis. I want it. So he gave everything within his powers to make it happen. Total absorption in manifesting that road. Bhakti is absorption. In doing the best we can for the pleasure of Krishna. So in a similar way, Lord Ramchandra was giving the same gratitude and the same blessings to every single devotee who was following Hanumanji's footsteps according to their capacity to build that bridge. And Ram went on the back of Hanuman, Lakshman went on the back of Angada, and among all the other vanaras, monkey soldiers, chanting the holy names of Ram. And actually, although the ocean gave the promise that whatever you put on me for this bridge will float, for the devotees, they put the name of Ram on everything. Because ultimately it was Ram's mercy. And they crossed the ocean. on this glorious bridge in their mission to bring Sita back to Ram. And our beloved Srila Prabhupada, he crossed the Arabian Sea, he crossed the Gulf of Middle East, he crossed the Atlantic Ocean. Just to bring the Sita in our hearts, our bhakti, back to Ram. And Srila Prabhupada said that similar to Ram, Krishna only gave him a group of monkeys to help. He was talking about us, actually. What a blessing. What a blessing to assist in this great mission. Through the holy names of Krishna, through our kirtan, our japa, and all of our projects, our purposes, to awaken bhakti from our hearts and to awaken bhakti in the hearts of others. Sita, bhakti is the energy of Radha or Sita. To bring Sita back to Ram. And after the great battle, Ram and Sita were reunited. I will read the verse again. Sukadev Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramchandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers, headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. Thank you very much. Actually, I have not been for a Sunday feast program for about 3 years. So, this is the Sunday feast program. Let us please chant together.